Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we are online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for listening at those various platforms, and also, of course, the podcasts of this program and all programs here on KPCG are available at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. Well, as many of you are aware, God chose ancient Israel to be a model nation. He really wanted them to be an example of how to obey Him and how to be blessed. They were given God's law. They were given God's truth so that they could follow it and that they could be blessed. Even though they weren't offered salvation and they did not have God's Holy Spirit, they still had a list of commandments and statutes and judgments that if they followed them, they would have had success. But unfortunately, in the rebellion against God's laws, Israel actually became an example of how not to live. They became a negative example. The good news, though, is that Israel will ultimately learn to obey God, and they will set a godly example for the world. They will do that, even though they failed to do it anciently. Let's look at a few passages here today. We'll start in Deuteronomy 31. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at some of these passages together. Deuteronomy 31, verses 16 through 18. It says, "And the Eternal said unto Moses, Behold, you shall sleep with your fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them." God knew what Israel was going to do after the leadership of Moses was gone. Verse 17 says, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us?" Verse 18, "And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods." And of course, that's what happened. Israel did go and turn to other gods, to false religion. They turned away from Him, and they suffered the results. The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, it notes this. It says, "The ancient Israelites did forsake God, committing grievous sins, as He knew they would. As punishment for their disobedience, God caused them to be taken captive and scattered among the nations." You can read about that in Deuteronomy 4, verses 25 through 28. It says, "Today only a small minority of their descendants, mainly from the tribe of Judah, now live in the modern state of Israel, part of the promised land of ancient Israel." So, again, Israel today is not just the people living in the state of Israel, in that nation. That's the tribe of Judah, mainly. And so the rest of the Israelites, they're scattered in different locations. And, of course, mainly in the United States and Britain. And you can read about that history in our free book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Mr. Armstrong wrote that, and it's a tremendous book that goes into all the detail of what happened with Israel and where they are today. And that's important not just from a historical standpoint. It's important because there is a lot of prophecies about things that are coming to pass now and will come to pass in the near future that affect Israel. And so we need to know who Israel is. And Judah, that tribe of Judah, is in the nation of Israel today, as it would be called, that modern nation over in the Middle East. Notice Deuteronomy 4. Verses 29 and 30. It says, "But if from thence you shall seek the Eternal your God, you shall find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Eternal your God, and shall be obedient unto His voice." the latter days. This is a prophecy for the time we are in, and it shows what is just ahead for the physical nations of Israel, as well as God's Laodicean church. And there's a lot of information about that in Malachi's message. Again, and all the literature that is mentioned on this program is free, and it's at thetrumpet.com. In the United States and Britain in Prophecy, Mr. Armstrong shows how biblical prophecy reveals that the birthright tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, will be taken captive once again because of their continued national sins. Israel went into captivity anciently, and then Judah did later, because of sin, because of rebelling against God. And so finally they went into captivity. And in the case of Israel, they never came back. They're scattered today. And this is a prophecy of what's ahead for us. If modern Israel doesn't repent of sins, and there sure are a lot of sins that are being promoted and being encouraged and being celebrated in our societies today in the West, if those sins aren't repented of, well, there's trouble on the horizon, very serious trouble and captivity. But God does promise. He does say that he will again bring his people Israel back to the land he promised Abraham. So this gets back to what we were talking about at the beginning. Remember, Israel was supposed to be a model nation, and they will be a model nation. God prophesied that they will be in the time that is just ahead of us. Notice Isaiah 27 and verse 13. Isaiah 27 and verse 13, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Eternal in the holy mount at Jerusalem." This is talking about a time that's ahead of us. The correspondence course says the blowing of the great trumpet refers to the last trump, signaling Jesus Christ's return to earth as King of Kings. You can read about that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16 and in Revelation 11 and verse 15. Christ is going to return. It says, at his return, Christ will seek out and bring back the remnant of Israel from this modern captivity. Those still alive after the soon coming Great Tribulation will be brought back to the land of Palestine, where all 13 tribes will be settled after their former estates. Israel's going to go home. They're going to get to go home again to where they were originally, to where God put them. And, of course, there's a great captivity between now and that time period, the Great Tribulation, if Israel does not repent and does not return to God. And there are people that are, as they would view it, very religious in the United States and maybe in Britain as well. But again, not God's true religion. We have to worship God according to his laws. The problem with Israel anciently was that, not that they weren't religious, it was that they were going after false gods. And they were punished because of that, because of false religion. False religion is a major problem, and God's really upset about it, of course. It's idolatry. It's breaking of the commandments of God, and it's going the wrong direction. And so because of that, and because of the sins that come from that type of false religion and lack of keeping God's laws, we have a terrible captivity coming. I mean, can you imagine that? We've seen captivity in modern times, of course. We go back to World War II, and we consider the concentration camps and how terrible that was, and just a horrific situation. Even today, there are wars and conflicts and slavery on certain levels in different places of this earth. But we're talking about a national captivity, a massive captivity here of the descendants of Israel. And, of course, the descendants of Israel, mainly the United States and Britain, for several generations, we've known nothing but blessings for the most part, riches, blessings. You know, when's the last time people worried about food? Worried about where their next meal was going to come from. Of course, there's always some poverty and there's some situations that could be like that. But on the whole, nationally, that's not been worried about in our countries for years. But this is talking about a great captivity that's coming, and the Bible calls it the Great Tribulation. The Bible calls it the Great Tribulation. Notice Jeremiah 16 and verse 14 and 15. It says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Eternal, that it shall no more be said, the Eternal lives, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Eternal lives, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers." Imagine that. I mean, we're talking about a huge exodus. As God says here, people are not going to talk anymore about the exodus from Egypt. They're going to talk about this great exodus where Israel is brought out of the slavery that they were in the land of the north, where they'd been driven. And, of course, that's Germany and other areas. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course says, "Jeremiah's God-inspired prophecy of this future exodus was written about 600 B.C. The first exodus was only a lesser type or forerunner of a second and far greater exodus to come. Notice that these regathered Israelites are not changed to immortality when Christ returns, but rather restored to the promised land of ancient times as physical human beings. They're going to continue to live physically, but they're going to be brought back to that land, the restored. They're going to be restored to the promised land of ancient times." Ezekiel 37, notice this. Ezekiel 37, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Moreover, you son of man, take you one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions." Verse 17 says, "And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand." And so it's a bit of an unusual prophecy, I guess, but I think we get the point there, that they're being brought back together again. And if you keep reading in this chapter, you see that the resurrected David will rule over them. They will walk in God's judgments, and they will observe God's statutes. They will keep his law. Finally, Israel is going to keep God's law, just as God always intended. And at this time, Israel will be an example to the rest of the world. A good example this time, a tremendous example, and it will be an example of obedience to God. They will have learned their lesson in the Great Tribulation, and that lesson, of course, is that sin leads to slavery and destruction. It always does. It always does. The Correspondence Course says, "The children of Israel will repent bitterly of their wickedness, which caused God to temporarily forsake them and allow them to go into national captivity." To wake them up. They're talking about being woken up, right? I mean, we've all probably been startled awake at times, and it can be pretty unnerving. Well, this is going to be the wake-up call of all wake-up calls, I guess. People are really going to be shaken from what they've done and the direction that society is headed, and say, well, that was not the right way to go. What were we thinking? They're going to be woken up in this great captivity, this great tribulation. The quote continues and says that they will then truly seek God, repent of their sins, receive God's Holy Spirit, and enter into a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. You can read more about that in Jeremiah 50 in verse 5. See, this was not possible, it says, during the days of the old covenant when the nation as a whole lacked God's Spirit. They're going to have God's Spirit finally. They're going to have that help that they need to really obey God, to have the mind of God, to think like God does and keep his commandments. The Correspondence Course notes that it is God's Holy Spirit that will make the difference. This is the lesson God wanted all of mankind to learn. So he gave proof through Israel's example that without the Holy Spirit, man is helpless. They couldn't obey God, not even on the physical level. They just couldn't do it. We need God's Spirit, of course, to really obey God. The quote continues and says, "But once they have God's Holy Spirit, the people of Israel and all of mankind will be able to understand God's way and obey him from the heart." Not just the letter of the law, but really obey God from the heart. The availability of God's Spirit at that time is what's going to empower Israel to finally obey God. They will have been corrected severely, of course, but then they'll be given God's Spirit upon repentance so that they can obey God. And Israel's obedience and the resulting blessings, and there are going to be a lot of blessings, will inspire the whole world to follow their example. They will be that model nation. Notice Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." In the millennium, Israel will truly become God's model nation, the nation all others will want to follow, because, of course, they're going to want those blessings as well. And those who are long dead from ancient Israel, all those who have lived, will be resurrected in the last great day. That's just after the millennium, and given God's Spirit. You can see that in Ezekiel 37. That's the Valley of Dry Bones, that vision, which is really quite amazing. So it's great to go and take a look at that and refresh your memory if you haven't seen it in a while. The opportunity to be begotten by God's Spirit, that's what they're going to have at that time. All those from ancient Israel, they're going to be able to develop his character and ultimately be born as very gods into the family of God. God is fair. He wants everyone to have a chance to enter his family according to his timing. And Israel will learn to obey God. They will be that model nation and help all nations to really seek God, obey God, follow God, and reap those wonderful blessings that God wants all of mankind to have and that we can have today if we will follow him. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. And again, if you'd like any of the literature we talked about on today's program, including the correspondence course in the United States and Britain in Prophecy, you can find those free at thetrumpet.com. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.